Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is the last Sunday of the church year, and because of that, we have a lot of lasts for the rest of the church year, which is a whole week, right? That's the last part of the church year. The new church year starts on Sunday with Advent 1, and you'll notice a lot of changes. So for the lasts of the Sundays in the church year, this is the last we'll see green for a while. The green will be put away after Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving will have a service on Thanksgiving Eve, and then the green will be put away and blue will come out in its place, and then we'll see blue for a while. So this is the last we'll see of the green. So the green shoes have to go away, the green stole has to go away for a while anyway. It's the last we'll have of the Alleluias. You notice we sang the Alleluia in between the New Testament and the Gospel reading. The tradition is that the Alleluias go away because then we begin this new season of preparation and expectation and excitement and not as much of the praise and glory of the Alleluias. So there was a church in Alaska, a Catholic church in Alaska, St. Raphael's, I think was the name of it, and they would take, they would have like an Alleluia on their altar, and at the last Sunday of the church year, they would actually take the Alleluia off as a, sort of a symbolic move, and then they would put it away. And so the Alleluias go away. It's not that we become somber, and we don't sing and praise, but the Alleluias disappear for a while. And then they'll come back once Advent is over and we're in the Christmas season, then the Alleluias will return. And it's kind of an exciting time when the Alleluias come back. It's part of our regular praise, and so it's good to have those back. But for now, the Alleluias go away. And for now, we sort of go over those last things. We consider the last things of the church year, the last preparations, the last minute details, the last things that we need to take care of. It's a time towards the end of the year, the end of the calendar year, when we do consider a lot of lasts, last things that we need to take care of before the new year starts, last things we need to manage, last tax forms to be submitted so that we can get the tax returns and all of that stuff, and last paychecks, and last of a lot of different things. Because the new year changes stuff, even though it doesn't change a whole lot in terms of the way day-to-day things go, the new year will change things. So we spend a little time today considering the lasts before we get to the celebrations of the firsts. So our reading today, our gospel reading in particular, focuses on a last, right? This is the gospel reading for Good Friday is part of this reading today. So it's appropriate that the last Sunday of the church year is connected to Good Friday in that it's the last that we hear Jesus speaking his words. So this reading in Luke chapter 23 is Jesus being crucified. It's the passion story, at least part of it, for Jesus on the cross. And we hear a lot of lasts. We consider the last words of Jesus as he lays on the cross and he's hung up on the cross and he's hanging there as everyone else is railing against him. And his last words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We hear that a lot. We hear that and pray that a lot when we consider the lasts of Jesus. As he's dying, as his blood is pouring out of all of the gaping wounds on his body, these are the last words that he considers. These are his last gasps, and they are of forgiveness, not anger, not retaliation, not eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, as we've been talking about in Bible study. It's not about that for Jesus. Could he do it? Absolutely. If anyone is capable of the ultimate retaliation, it's Jesus. As God in the flesh, he has all power, all authority that has been given to him. But in his lasts, he speaks words of grace and mercy for those who have no idea what it is they're doing. They're following orders. They're just doing what they've been told, and they don't know. And not only do they not know, but those who have sentenced him to this death don't really know what they're doing. They don't know that they're part of God's greater plan. So in this season of lasts, we hear these last whispers of Jesus in words of forgiveness. And it's also the last chance that the world has to mock him, right? That Satan has to poke at Jesus as he's hanging there dying, and he takes every effort to do so. If you hear these words, you know, these words that say, well, he saved others, let him save himself. And the word if. If he is the Son of God, if Jesus is who he says he is, if he is truly King of the Jews, well, then he ought to be able to save himself, so why doesn't he do it? It's the last gasp of a dying enemy. Satan can't really do much else, and so he's trying to poke holes, more holes, in Jesus as trying to claim being King of the Jews, which he is. Others rebuked him and said, he's the Christ. If he is the Christ, why doesn't he save himself always? Why don't you save yourself? These last gasps of Satan as Jesus dies on the cross. It's a season of lasts. Last of the green, last of the alleluias, last of the words of Christ as he hangs on the cross. It's a season of lasts. But it's not just a season of lasts. Because with the end also comes a beginning. Without Christ dying on the cross, well, then the church would have no beginning. Without the words of grace and mercy spoken by Christ, well, then the church would have no words of grace and mercy to speak to anyone else. So while it is a season of lasts, it's also a season of firsts, a season of beginnings, a season of changes for the better. As Christ dies on the cross and he speaks these words to the one criminal, the one thief on the cross, if you go with one of the other gospels, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." What incredible last words to hear. We can all pray and hope for those last words to be whispered in our ears when we, on our last day, hear those same words of Jesus: "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And that last word of Jesus to our own ears marks the beginning of that life eternal, that beginning of life in paradise with Christ, that beginning in life of praise and provision and no more pain and no more tears and all of that is promised. So it is a season of lasts, but it's a season of beginnings, of firsts. Advent is that time, of preparation, maybe a bit of anxiety and a bit of worry as all of us are planning. It's the beginning of this planning season because lots of plans are being made. You don't have to raise your hands, but I can see and I know many plans. Plans for visitors coming into town. Plans for meals that are not your normal meals. Plans for travel, perhaps, to other places. There's lots of plans. Lots of plans in motion for extra worship opportunities. Lots of plans in motion for extra bell choir rehearsals and choir rehearsals and practicing on your various different instruments that you play. Lots of plans. Advent is a season of plans, season of excitement, season of anxiety. So while the green may go away and the alleluias may disappear, there's all sorts of things that are ready to take its place, from alleluias to oh my goodnesses. What's going to come? What is this season going to be like? And at the end of things, on the end of the church year, and the end of all sorts of opportunities, come a lot of anxiety for what will the future bring? What will the future bring? What will this Advent season bring? Again, travel plans, meals, and we all know the best plans you make, there's always going to be a hitch in there somewhere. Again, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you plan for plan A, plan B, plan C, and maybe plan D? And if all else fails, we order in, right? It's the way the season goes. It's the way of life for us. We make lots of plans. We look forward to the excitement and also the anxiety, the trepidation that comes with making plans that perhaps may work and others that may not. This season of firsts, the season of beginnings is right close to upon us. So what does that mean for us as we contemplate this last of Jesus in our gospel reading? Well, then we look to the reading in Colossians, and I would invite you, as I often do, to open up your bulletin to the Colossians reading. Because in our gospel, we hear the lasts. Father, forgive them for you. They know not what they do, and you'll be with me in paradise. And today, in Colossians, we hear the firsts. See, because the end of the church year is all about Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. And the beginning of the church year in Advent is all about Jesus and what he has done for us and also what he is going to do. See, because Advent is not just about the celebration of Christmas and the first Advent. It's also in preparation and excitement for the next, when Jesus will come again. And so in our Colossians reading, we hear a lot of the firsts. Right? Jesus is the image of the unseen God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is that first, that he was with God in the beginning, even before creation was created. Jesus was there with him. And through him, all things were created in heaven, on earth, seen and unseen, or visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. See, in order to be the first means that everything else comes after you. Jesus was the firstborn of creation. He was there with God in the beginning, and everything else that was created through him. He was the first, and those firsts of creation. And not only just of creation, but of all things that exist in creation. He is before all things. In other words, he is the first of all things. Anything else that we would consider, Jesus is before that. Anything else we would think about, Jesus is before that. Jesus is before all things. He's the head of the body in the church. In other words, here in the church, Jesus is preeminent. He is always preeminent. The gospel is preeminent. Jesus is the first and foremost. Yes, we have wonderful decorations. Yes, we have wonderful celebrations. Yes, we have wonderful songs we sing and hymns we sing and prayers we pray and all sorts of things. And yet, it really is all about the first, about Jesus. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. So not only was he the firstborn of creation, he's also the firstborn to rise from the dead. And being first means there will be others who follow, and that includes you and me. Jesus is the first to show the way. Jesus is the first to make the way. And in him, the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He himself is the first of all things. In this last season, in this end of things, we don't consider it the end. It is the beginning of the beginning. So in Advent, as we approach that season, we approach it with excitement, energy, plans, lots of plans, and also that hope. That hope that while the green may go away, the blue takes its place. The joy takes its place. The excitement of the season takes its place. And our hope in Christ remains in its place. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.